Welcome all, welcome all once again. It might not be Independence Day, but we're talking about it. The Independence Day short-lived film franchise. Here to join me from Stark Wars Podcast is Michael O'Rear. How are you?
I am so excited to be here. You know, this was a movie that I grew up with. So, and it's weird that you call it a franchise, because for me, it's like that new movie came out. And like, as soon as like, heard like reviews of it, like I just wiped it from my memory. I don't even think about that new movie. If you say Independence Day, this is the only thing I think about. I try to keep it. I like still to this moment, maybe I should have watched it to prepare for the podcast, but I'm like, I just want to preserve my love for this Independence Day.
And I mean, the first one is already kind of goofy enough. Like, why rot your brain with all the other excess that you don't like? So it is interesting. Just growing up, I would always see people say it was always mentioned in the same sentence as great visual and special effects. And then you follow it up with, but it's a bad movie, or but it's a fun movie, or it's my favorite movie, or I like it, but it's bad, or so bad it's good. You want to talk inconsistency. I will see people now, like I think Empire Magazine even gave it a 5-star review in a retrospect. There are some people who consider it a classic disaster movie. Then there are other people who like it, but they kind of consider it typical disaster movies, because disaster movies tend to have improbable plots. And
yeah, so I want to set this up because I said that I wanted to preserve my love for this movie. And for just a little bit of background, this was a movie that I had on repeat with the VHS as a kid that I loved so much and watched all the time. But to be honest with you, I probably haven't seen it in 15 years before this week. So I almost feel like I shouldn't have watched it, because my opinion now is that this movie is really bad. I don't love this movie. Okay, there's a lot of things that that there are issues with, and I'm going to continue just to try to keep myself in that childish mindset where I just really loved it. I loved Will Smith, and it was so much fun. But now, when I look at it with a true critical eye, it's hard to defend some of the stuff in this movie.
Yeah, I think I was lukewarm to it and had fun, and I just mainly thought about it because I had friends at school who quoted it, and it was in movie montages and almost all the time whenever there was some. My introduction to it was even watching a IMAX documentary that was about visual effects, and it was sponsoring the work Industrial Light and Magic was responsible for. And you know, it's just so funny how, like you say, yeah, it would be interesting on some days, and sometimes it was kind of annoying based on what clips you were watching. Every movie can vary by a scene, by your mood, by a time. And I think I did take a break from watching it for a while, because not just necessarily improbability. I think I was mainly overshadowed by just lesser stuff that Roland Emmerich worked on, and just seeing how he took every blockbuster seriously, even though he had kind of a Rennie Harlan, Michael Bay, who's another blockbuster guy who's known for being cheesy, hell, maybe Sam Raimi mentality. And it's just like, well, this does not go with this. And I think just after just the abomination known as Moonfall, I was just like, okay, well, look at what crew he had. He had a wonderful effects crew and people who were having fun in Independence Day. Obviously, Universal Soldier. He had Vic Armstrong from Indiana Jones doing the action directing, and a okay sci-fi thing. Dean Devlin seems to have gone on and had a pretty epic TV and movie career, and he still just seems to kind of be running into roadblocks. He seems to want to make statements in his movies that don't seem really warranted, because he's not building up to it. So then you're like, okay, are you know, Spielberg's been able to go out of this. Scorsese's been able to go out of this. Even the other blockbuster guys, you know, like Antoine Fuqua and Martin Campbell can do a serious movie and appeal to the popcorn guys. So what's your deal?
Roland Emmerich doesn't really change, right? No. And I think that's like one thing I was like, you know, Roland, like, again, and like my memories as like a younger person, how I built it up in my
mind. Everything is great at age 14.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. And so I'm sitting here thinking, you know, oh, Roland Emmerich did this really incredible disaster movie, and then like he copied it over. But it's like, number one, I don't know if it's that great. Number two, I still think there's like so many tropes in this movie that like aren't even original to Roland Emmerich. So
no.
It's like, I don't know. It is what
Irwin
it is.
Allen logic, it works. But at the same time, I think it just came out at the right time. It was on the movie channels nonstop. And then, you know, hey, high def VHS and DVD systems, put it back in and test it out. And at the same time, I mean, I really don't think any of the next coming blockbusters that dominated the late 90s, early 2000s would have even come out. I don't think Will Smith would have gone on and done Men in Black. I don't think other giant ones like Armageddon or Starship Troopers would have been a thing. I don't think even typical ones like Dante's Peak, you know, Titanic. I don't think any of those would have been, we got to do something that explosive. Let's worry about the story later. Funny enough, there was a retrospect, I think, published about 5 years ago, and it was just so funny. Basically, Emmerich and Devlin, you know, the biggest part was convincing the studio to let them blow up the White House and let that be in the Super Bowl ad. You know, I was just testing the limits back then. Oh, can we do that? I don't feel comfortable breaking that rule. We've been told so long in the last 20 years, don't do that. Don't do anything like that. But the biggest, funniest part, chuckle to me, reading these interviews on this retrospect, was how they were at a pre-test screening and people were laughing when they see Randy Quaid putting a missile to his plane and everything. And they got some unintentional laughs. They're like, that's not good. We got to rescore, re-edit that. I'm like, well, maybe you should have just ditched that to begin with.
Yeah, that's never a good sign. Is
it? It doesn't work because it doesn't work.
Right. And here's the thing about like some of the effects in this movie. Like there were moments.
Oh my God.
There were moments in like the very beginning, especially like when the ship started to arrive, like there wasn't like too much explosions or anything. Just some like clearly like, I was like, you know, I've seen modern Marvel movies that have like visual effects pretty similar to what I'm looking at right now. Like we haven't come that far. And then you get a little further on in the movie and like, I'm like, that doesn't even look like fire anymore. It's like, I don't know what you're showing.
That looks like animation from the 80s, you know. Yeah, and
exactly.
It's inner space, enemy mine level animation, but yeah. Almost Tron level. But yeah, then there are other ones like, damn, how'd they get that detail? Yeah. Oh, that's right. I know the guy who blew up the Death Star is the same late visual effects guy, Ostrom, I think is what his name is, who did the White House explosion.
Well, that's the thing. It's there were so, especially in like a lot of the dogfight scenes. Death I'm like, Star. This is like the Death Star run. Like, are you kidding me right now? This is the same. It's like Top Gun meets Star Wars. It's wild.
It is almost like Top Gun. There is some of that. There's even just other moments where I'm like, why do I care about these people? I haven't had any time to know about them. Like, why do I care about all these hippies and other guys who are going to get blown up by this thing? That is definitely the biggest time suck of the movie.
Way too many characters in this movie. Like they really went all out with the characters, and some of them, like at least like the performances are really fun. Like the I can't remember the guy, the crazy doctor guy.
I always forgot the president's backstory along with Goldblum's storyline because it was so mashed together. I'm like, oh wait, no, that's who's married to who and getting back together with this and all this intrigue, and we're already gotta again focus on Will Smith and then Randy Quaid and his crazy country families. So. Yeah.
I think Will Smith's story is the most fleshed out.
You love him.
He's friends. And then Jeff Goldblum, I feel like his performance is really good, but the story is like, what is this? He's like, at the beginning, he's like, I'm big into recycling. And like later they tie that in, like, oh, he's saving the planet because I don't know. This isn't like tying together the way you think it is.
Yeah, by the time they start getting to the computer hacking, that's when the movie really does start to lose me. And you're like, okay, let's wrap this bitch up. I know what you're building to, but this is a joke where the buildup isn't all that good, and I just want the punchline. But it is kind of funny because what other movie would have done that? And at the same time, it is kind of wild how. I mean, he started ad-libbing his lines from Jurassic Park, must go faster, and then they're like, do more of that. Then you're like, well, okay, I thought that was just a coincidence. They're like, no, it was a direct reference. Must go faster.
Yes.
Wild stuff. I do wonder if more disaster movies, I mean, if this hadn't done the most absurd stuff, would they have tried to one up it? And then, like you say, depending on your mood, depending on your age, determines your enjoyment of it. I hadn't seen it in a while, and I was just like, and lo and behold, TNT plays it every Independence Day. So it's yeah. like, is you, it's, I'm both cringing and enjoying it at the same time. I find myself at that rare predicament. Usually I can do both, but I don't really last long unless there's belly aching laughs from the goofiness, intended or not. And it is one of those like, well, David Arnold, you do one hell of a score. And again, good set design, but God, there's going to be something stupid coming up, isn't there? Yeah, so no doubt. You always have those little small moments. And at the same time, what a big ass cast. Just about every character actor who's not even a name is in here. James Duvall has been a go-to guy. He's been in slashers. Raphael Sabarge has been a recurring TV actor. Jay Iacovone, the base guard, who gets a few amusing lines. I'm letting you ride on in. You know, you might know him from Stargate.
No, really, really good cast. Like, I feel like, again, like, I feel like it's not necessarily the performances that are lacking by any means. It's just,
no.
Like, you get, like, some really incredible actors, like, a very mediocre script, and they're doing their best.
It's like, 1 minute's the day they're stood still, and then, like you say, yeah, then it does go into... any second now, Maverick will blow these TIE fighters out of the sky.
Yeah, exactly.
Help me, Goose. And it's in the form of Harry Connick Jr.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's another weird thing. It's like they play up how he was closeted at the time, and you're like, what did that have to do? Yeah. Other than just sneaking a gay joke.
Yeah, I didn't see a point for him in the movie, but yeah.
I love how it's like, I've seen some people, when watching him with friends, get distracted by his death, and I'm like, oh, relax. I don't even know the asshole, and now I'm going to get distracted because Will Smith's going to beat up this alien.
Yeah.
Welcome
yeah.
to Earth.
Wham. And that's the other thing. It's like, that's that whole scene where he's, like, cheering after taking down the alien ship. Like, honestly, one of the most iconic scenes of the 90s for me. Just so fun, and, like, again, Will Smith just,
every
like,
movie
just
felt
eating
the
it up.
Need to do that. They felt, I gotta, yay!
Yeah.
No! It was like, you just wrecked an awesome explosion. Can I just process it alone? And then the character reacts the following scene.
Yeah.
Can't help it.
We'll return after these messages.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR, we add them to our queues, we wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide, all across the globe. We are in the US, we are in the UK, we are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan, we're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, all things that we love, all manga that were originally published in the legendary magazine Weekly Shonen Jump.
But not every series can run for 300 chapters and have a hit anime. This is David.
This is Jordan.
We're the hosts of Shonen Flop. Each episode we look at manga that ran in Jump that didn't quite make it.
We discuss what it did wrong, what it did right, how the series could have turned itself around, and ultimately, was it a flop or not?
Run all your favorite podcast apps, and you can find us at shonenflop.com.
Keep on flopping, floppers.
So stock footage of this was used in Dragon Ball Evolution. Why do you think Fox is so cheap that they want to steal the car explosion?
Wow, okay.
Destruction sequence of the tunnel is like, jeez, can't afford your own explosions?
Yeah, what about the dog? Like, this is what I really
the dog, like, save the dog.
There was no like coming back for me. It was like that dog,
everyone
like,
else must die.
Jumped out of the way of the explosion. I was like, what on earth is happening?
Vivica, she's a stripper.
Yeah.
Somehow Will can find her out of nowhere. So the only thing that really does this in for me is the military not being reprimanded for accidentally doing friendly fire and nuking its own people.
Oh yeah, that goes by very quickly. They really brush over.
I'm like, no, I want all those fuckers court-martialed. You could have just done regular missiles, and then I think you could have assumed a nuke's just not gonna do it.
Yeah.
And make sure people are evacuating in the city before you try this.
That was not a good look. The other thing that kind of blew my mind that I forgot about was they let Bill Pullman into a fighter jet to fight at the end.
Yeah, I'm Mr. Like... President, I don't... whatever you say, boss.
What if that happened? Like, what if there was an invasion now? Like, Biden hops in a fighter jet.
Yeah, it'd be no-go. A Secret Service agent would have a human version of a Vulcan death pinch. Nope.
Yeah.
Go back to your seat now.
Exactly.
Gonna knock you out. Do you think this is an allegory for where Randy Quaid is now?
Oh.
I think he saw this too many times. He's like, yeah, the government's invading my life and they're aliens or snake people. Oh.
Exactly.
The biggest kicker for me, though, is definitely how they have to shoot Brent Spiner. Yeah. Data from Star Trek, and in the director's commentary for the longest time, I always heard that it was mentioned that he had actually survived, but everyone thought, oh, he got shot to death and cause he was taken over by the alien. Next thing you know, they bring him back in the sequel, and you're like, and then they try to introduce a gay storyline that again goes nowhere, and you're just like, this is where Emmerich should have just left it alone. You know, that was like his one raisin in the sun, that was his one. Gold mine, he should have just not revisited that well. And I think it took everyone watching the trailer realizing Will Smith was smart enough to not come back. That, and I have struggled to get for that piece of shit multiple times. I will just say that right now. Because the first one, I mean, it was good enough for a PlayStation video game. The characters were likable enough, if underdeveloped. And I do think it did a lot for careers. My screenwriter professor would often, every once in a while, bring up the president's speech and give it as a motivation, and for the wrong reasons, say, make sure to not write a speech like this. Today we celebrate our Independence Day.
Yeah.
And so many of these other guys, I don't think if Goldblum hadn't been in this, I don't think he would have been asked to be in a bunch of other big sci-fi shows and comedies and even Return to Jurassic Park. I don't think you got Madam President there, Mary McDonald. I don't think she would have been on Battlestar Galactica had she not been in this, I don't think.
Yeah. No, you're nailing it. I mean,
was playing the housewife or just the local neighbor down the street.
It's almost like, kind of like I said, it's not the performances that are the problem, but, some of the writing. So it's almost like, they're like, well, we see that you did your best with what you had, so we'll give you another job.
Adam Baldwin years before Firefly, Chuck and Last Ship, and then he was previously just known as, again, Animal Mother and Full Metal Jacket, and then you had Judd Hirsch, you had Robert Loggia, you have all these other just Margaret Collin, you had all these other just bit part actors, and like, man, been in fucking everything. James Rebhorn is like the president's aide, and just so funny because usually he's the slime ball in there. He's just like, he just has kind of just the, whoa, you know, just
the thing is, though, he's not wrong in the movie.
No, like, that's the other irony. They want to make him be a jerk, and this is like the only movie where he's not trying to be a jerk. But it's kind of, I call it the Dr. Cox and Scrubs mentality. You're like, you've seen him be that so many times, then it's just so funny. You're like, why am I reacting? I'm like, well, it's because I'm spoiled on what I've seen him in. It's not anything to do with what's actually on screen. Oh, it's done.
He was trying to stop them from this ridiculous, like, again, like a computer virus and a foreign alien spacecraft. Like, it makes no sense at all.
And he's like, bananas to that. Like, stop right there. bad idea. Go to plan D.
He's like
the suitcase.
He's like all the reviewers, like talking about this movie, like this makes no sense. And he loses his job and everything.
And yet you feel like the filmmakers aren't in on that joke half the time. You're which is so weird. It is definitely a weird mentality of a movie with some soul, and yet at the same time, too dumb for its own good. You know, it's kind of like Evil Dead. You can accept it as trashy, or you can legit be laughing with Raimi and company. And then there's others who just don't get it at all, but love what they're seeing. So it is a weird predicament. Is the audience smarter than the filmmaker? Is the filmmaker smarter than the average bear? Or is it just a jumbled pile of everything, good and bad?
It's madness. So, it's just madness.
It is it. Madness. It's a mad, mad world.
Yeah.
So would you watch this every Independence Day? Or would that just be too much flag waving and just craziness for one evening? Especially when it's got very little to do about being American.
Yeah, exactly. It just happened to fall on that holiday. What if it fell on Christmas? This is our new Christmas.
Ooh. I lost my Die Hard Blu-ray. I can't get Lethal Weapon. No one wants to do Gremlins Too Dark. I guess Independence Day will do.
Yeah. So definitely not. I would not watch this yearly for sure.
Yeah, it's gonna be a long time. Too much. Your brain can be active doing something else way more than that. Every 5 years, put it on as a wacky party movie because you got friends over, but don't do it every year. Your brain will turn to mush. Trust me. I did it one time, and when it's on with commercial, it becomes even more unbearable for me.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
Sometimes they add extended scenes, and other times it's just like, this is going,
Yeah. Way too long, and when you factor in the commercials, it's like there's no
almost
way.
3.5 hours is like you made this. Congrats, you made this as long as Lord of the Rings and a typical James Bond movie. I can't do it. Poor Independence Day. So thank you for being on here. Where can we find Stark Wars for those not in the know? And what are you covering next once She-Hulk and Kenobi just wrapped up? What are you thinking of covering next?
Yeah, so first of all, we're the Stark Wars podcast. What we cover mostly is Marvel and Star Wars, but we're trying to branch out to some other like nerdy
Peacemaker
stuff.
You did the first two episodes of Lord of the Rings show. I can't wait to binge this.
Yeah. Mostly that stuff, but some nerd culture all together. And you can find us on all podcasting platforms. Right now, we're wrapping up She-Hulk. Andor just started.
A big assortment of guests that you get. Which is cool.
We try to get, I'd love to have you on at some point. To get as many new people as we can. So, it's me and my buddy Tommy, and also always a guest. Usually.
At the end of the day, it's just funny first impressions. It's like, did you think this when they're going in? I'm like, oh, I thought that was an inside joke to this. So you're actually dissecting it more naturally as opposed to, oh, this sucks. It wasn't in the trailer, Of course, it's not in the trailer.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like, some of these Disney Plus shows, very hit or miss. So we try not to be too mean. And our level of what is good has really been lowered by doing this podcast. So it's like, it's like She-Hulk's happening right now. And if I had watched that out of the blue, I'd probably roast it a lot more. But on the scale of other Marvel shows, I'm like, it's not that bad. So,
yeah, I mean, you got to just go with your honest instinct. And it just seems like so many are just trying to piss each other off nowadays. We're just like, do I need a babysitter for a babysitter?
Exactly. Like, we're not here to fight. That's
no gatekeeping.
Sure.
You don't have to be the YouTuber guy who gets a whoa just in your face reaction.
So.
Well, this was a delight, sir. I'm glad we could do a brief, quick summary of what we
recommend. What about ratings? What would you give this out of 5?
It's probably a 3.5 out of 5. That there's so much shit, and at the same time, it is a worthwhile viewing because you will applaud the production value and effects and visuals, and you can get over just the dog shit script because there's enough joy in it to where, even though what was clearly, not intended in all areas or is clearly like screenwriting 101, you are able to gloss through the shit. It goes even faster than other blockbusters like The Rock, Executive Decision, and Speed, where, you know, those are more serious, and this is more is like, hey, it is a 50s kind of movie. I can put it on in front of the kids and don't have to be too worried about illogical or possibly illegal decisions the characters are making. And it's also, it's not as, there's no incest subplot like any other Star Wars or Back to the Future movie. And at the same time, there's not a moment where you're just like, I don't think anyone who's obviously going to replicate a movie should not be watching a movie to begin with. But at the same time, there's nothing that hasn't dated too bad where I'm like, ooh, pretty insensitive comment right there. Did I just hear a racial remark? No, there's nothing like that where you're like,
and it's actually kind of woke at times. Like, I feel like they handled the stripper storyline pretty well. You know,
they don't shame her. And that was back in the time where everyone would be like, whore. You know, they would do stuff like that. And you're like, whoa.
Exactly.
In the military scenes, there's surprisingly no locker room talk. There's just that one gay joke, and I mean, it's made by a gay filmmaker, so I don't think there was anything harm meant by it. It was just stupid. By the filmmaker's own stupidity. So what would you rate it?
I thought I was generous with a 2.5.
It's worth it, but there's gonna be some days where you're like, ooh, deep hurting. I mean, there is a riff tracks for this, and they pull no punches. They're like, I wonder what's happening. Something dumb. they go for it on that one.
Now, people always tell me I rate things too high. Like, typically I'll like roast something and I'm like, 4 out of 5. And they're like, what? But this is a good 2. This is a good 2 out of 5 for me.
Even better. And because it is one of those, you're kind of more distracted by the production design than you are whether or not you like it. It's one of those you can't take your eyes off, and then at the same time there are some serious barriers. It also depends on how logical do you want to be. If you are wanting absolute brain dead, then you'll be in heaven with this one at the same time.
Exactly.
And some of the X-Files references in there are kind of like, was this meant to be a parody of this? Because you don't have
a lot of the
satirical element of X-Files.
Exactly.
So thanks again, my dude.
Yes, this is awesome. Thanks for having me. All right.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a Jacked Up Review Show.